It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're going to continue our news roundtables now. There's been a lot happening in the federal courts with connections to Illinois. The former top aide to former House Speaker Michael Madigan, Tim Mapes, on Monday, he was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for lying to a grand jury. Meanwhile, Anisette Collins, a former state senator, was convicted the same day of several counts of cheating on her taxes. And as all of this is happening, several dozen Illinois residents continue to face federal charges in connection with the January 6th riot or insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. We wanted to spend some time unpacking just what's been going on with all of these cases. And with us to help do that is John Seidel, who covers federal courts for the Chicago Sun-Times. John, welcome back to the 21st show.
Glad to be here.
I want to start with the sentencing of Tim Mapes. In 5 trials last year, there were 9 people convicted in cases that all stem from these federal corruption charges, this probe. Can you just remind us what Mapes' role was in all of this?
Sure. Well, Tim Mapes was the chief of staff to Michael Madigan for decades. And during his trial, the jury was really told that the 2 closest people to Michael Madigan in Springfield were Tim Mapes, his chief of staff, and a close confidant named Michael McClain. Listeners might recall that Michael McClain has already been convicted of a bribery conspiracy aimed at Michael Madigan. Tim Mapes, though, was called in front of a grand jury a couple of months after McClain's indictment. And Mapes was given an immunity order, which meant that he couldn't really be prosecuted for what he said in that grand jury as long as he told the truth. And what he wound up doing, a jury has found, was he wound up lying repeatedly about work that McClain was doing for Madigan. So Mapes was indicted for perjury and attempted obstruction of justice. He went to trial last year, and jury sided with the prosecution on every count, and he faced the music this week for those crimes and for the grand jury.
Yeah. And, you know, just to give some context here, listeners might remember that this is the gentleman, he was sort of the gatekeeper to the House Speaker, who is the most powerful Democrat in Springfield. He had a sign up in his office along the lines of "No one gets to see the wizard, not no one, not no how." And as you said, he was not actually charged in connection with the big bribery scheme or the investigation into ComEd seeking to influence House Speaker Madigan that Madigan himself, and we can come to that a little later, is still facing a federal trial for. But he claimed that he didn't remember things that there was evidence for which he would have known, right, or should have known.
Right, right. No, you're correct. And in fact, prosecutors have, there's minimal evidence that the government has pointed to that Tim Mapes might have known what was going on. But for all the wiretaps and everything, there's just a very scant amount of evidence. Instead, there's evidence that he lied. And these were broad questions that he was asked, and he gave answers like, "I don't recall." One example that always sticks out to me, one episode in McClain's trial and probably in Madigan's trial is this episode where Michael Madigan sent Michael McClain to tell then State Representative Lou Lang that it was time for him to resign because there was some allegation that was going to come out about Lou Lang. And Mapes was asked in the grand jury if he knew about McClain having any contact with Lou Lang at that time. And Mapes said, "No, not that I can remember." I don't remember exactly what Mapes' answer was, but it amounted to, "I don't remember that. I don't remember anything about it." And then the jury heard several wiretap conversations in which Mapes is talking to McClain about how Madigan had told McClain to tell Lou Lang to resign. And there was even this comment that Mapes made to McClain about, when he called Lang, are you going to be wearing your big boy pants that day? I mean, these were not like one-off remarks. There were multiple conversations about this, but in front of the grand jury, he just didn't remember it.
You know, and I'm glad you pointed out and we should be clear, since this does involve a criminal matter, and I want to be fair here, that when I said he, should have known, I didn't mean the conspiracy overall. I just meant, as you were saying, this sort of instructions to McClain to be sort of Madigan's, operative in state government in matters
right,
happening there.
Right. And if I could also add to that, I mean, Mapes' defense attorney kind of made the point that he wasn't lying about the bribery. He wasn't lying about, the very specific crimes that Madigan and McClain had been charged with. But as the government pointed out, that relationship between McClain and Madigan is very relevant to those prosecutions. I mean, Madigan and McClain are charged in Madigan's case of constituting a criminal enterprise. That relationship is key, and Mapes had information about that relationship.
So Tim Mapes was once the gatekeeper to one of the most powerful people in Illinois government. He was also director, sort of administrator of the Democratic Party of Illinois. And after he lost those positions, really in an unrelated matter, he was servicing UPS trucks at one point. The judge said to Mapes at his sentencing, "I don't know why you did what you did." Do you have any sense of an answer to that question?
Just like the judge and just like the prosecution, I can only speculate. A lot of people have said, including the judge, speculated that this is some kind of loyalty to Madigan. Maybe, but as you pointed out, Madigan, forced Mapes to resign in 2018 over a separate scandal that was threatening Madigan. So was it, I don't know if it was Madigan. I kind of wonder if it was McClain. If you listen to these recordings, this was, they used the secret wiretap of McClain's phone to make the case against Mapes. And you hear a real closeness between Mapes and McClain in those tapes. And they talk about staying in the foxhole together. Whereas, Mapes' attorney told the judge this week that Mapes has barely spoken to Madigan since 2018. So don't forget, McClain had been indicted just, 4 or 5 months before Mapes wound up in the grand jury. The feds were still coming after him. I kind of wonder if it was out of a loyalty to McClain, but at the end of the day, we really don't know. Again, he had immunity. All he had to do was tell the truth, and he could have walked away from all of this.
Yeah.
And instead, he's going to prison.
There was some coverage of the fact that a lot of people, more than 100 people, have written letters to the judge or had written letters to the judge saying what a great guy Mapes was and how he was a good man and please go easy on him. It's interesting because I certainly know a lot of people in Springfield who found him to be could be abrasive at times and difficult to deal with. I guess it depended on what side of the power ledger you were on, maybe. Can you speak to that? And do we know who wrote those letters?
We don't know names yet, to answer that question right up front. Those letters have remained under seal, but Judge Ness wants much of them to become public. He's going to allow for redactions for the names of minors, letters written by minors, and very intimate letters by close members of Mapes' family. But you're right, there are more than 130 letters, apparently, including from current or former public officials. And Judge Ness says those should become public. And so they're working on sorting out what should and should not become public. I've never covered Springfield in depth like some of my colleagues. I've certainly been down there from time to time, but I've heard kind of that same reputation about Tim Mapes. But through the letters and also through, the court personnel, people working for the judge have to create a report ahead of the sentencing to inform the judge about the defendant. And between that and the letters, Judge Ness definitely got the sense that Tim Mapes was, a good guy. And I think Judge Ness found that frustrating. It's easy to sentence a bad person for doing bad things, right? But when a judge is faced with somebody that they believe is a good person but committed a serious crime, that's frustrating. That's difficult for a judge to grapple with. And I think that's what he found with Tim Mapes, even though the judge also acknowledged that Tim Mapes can apparently be a little brusque, I think is the word that the judge used.
Yeah. All right. And last thing before we move on from this, but I do think this is an interesting aspect of this because the judge said, you do hear a lot about how Illinois government's so corrupt and people are crying out for accountability, but he would do his best to resist putting that on one defendant. Can you just talk about the length of Mapes' sentence and how that compares to other comparable people?
Sure. I'll compare it in a couple of ways. One is that the Mapes case reminds me of the case of a woman named Bina Patel. She went to trial for perjury for obstructing the investigation of the Cook County Circuit Court clerk, Dorothy Brown. In fact, federal prosecutors straight up came out and said that Bina Patel's obstruction, her perjury, was basically the reason that Dorothy Brown was never indicted. Now, to be clear, Dorothy Brown was never indicted. She was never charged with a crime. The government pretty much laid that at Bina Patel's feet. She got 2 years in prison for her perjury. Tim Mapes gets a little bit more, and this investigation certainly involves allegations. Not that the court clerk's investigation, you know, allegedly selling jobs and promotions, not that that wasn't serious, but this involves the government of the entire state, right? So I could certainly see ratcheting up a little bit for Tim Mapes. But again, there is scant evidence that we've seen publicly, right, that Tim Mapes was involved in any of the bribery that Michael Madigan is accused of, that Michael McLean has been convicted of. And so I don't know that, you know, I guess should Tim Mapes pay the price for what Michael Madigan did, for what Michael McLean did? I mean, certainly these are all debatable points. And the judge said he could have given Tim Mapes a higher sentence. You know, you mentioned that we had five trials last year, 9 people convicted. Probably up until Tim Mapes, the most notable of those was a businessman named Jim Weiss. I'm sorry, the most notable to be sentenced, a businessman named Jim Weiss, who got 5.5 years for bribing 2 state lawmakers. Much more serious sentence than Tim Mapes got, and arguably more serious conduct. He's not just lying to a grand jury. He's doling out bribes. So, you know, we'll be watching to see how these sentences all stack up once the government's done with all of this. But, you know, I think the 2.5 years for Tim Mapes seems to be in line with what I've seen at the courthouse so far.
Interesting. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking with John Seidel, federal courts reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times, about some of the interesting cases that have been happening there recently. I do want to talk about one other one. We don't have to spend too much time on this because it is about a former state lawmaker, but that is a former state senator, Annazette Collins, was convicted of cheating on her taxes. Can you just briefly talk us through that case?
Sure. Yeah, and as you mentioned, this verdict came down the same day as the Tim Mapes sentencing, so it wasn't a great day for state government in the courthouse. But she's a former state rep and former state senator. But this case really involved more the work that she did after she left the legislature. She went on, she formed a consulting and lobbying group called Courtney Nicole Corp. But then, you know, the government alleged, and the jury mostly agreed, that she went on to file tax returns that made it look like she made very paltry sums year after year after leaving the General Assembly. But in fact, she was kind of raking it in from very well-known corporate, you know, ComEd and AT&T Illinois, which are part of the Madigan investigation. And, you know, the Annazette Collins case is an outgrowth of the Madigan investigation. She was taking in large sums of money from those groups and others by reporting very little. And then the government alleged that she dodged about $100,000 in taxes. I think in the end, the jury's verdict, they acquitted her on 2 of 6 counts. So I think that adjusted the loss to about $86,000 from the time period of like roughly 2014 to 2018. Still a lot of money. Her defense attorney claims this is all politically motivated. He didn't really get into details about why that might be, but that was the case. One other thing that came out during the trial was an allegation that she went on to, she also got an insurance job, selling insurance, and was submitting bogus policies and was fired from her job because of that. That was an allegation. She hasn't been charged with that, but that was an allegation that came out during the trial.
Interesting. And I understand her name appeared on one of McLean's magic lists of lobbyists. You know, and this, there will be more to talk about. We probably should move on, but there will be more to talk about this because, of course, House Speaker Madigan and, as you said, one of his very close associates, Mike McLean, who's already been convicted once, they are going on trial, scheduled for later this year. Before we do wrap up, only a couple minutes remaining, and I do want to spend some time. As of earlier this month, you've been tracking this, at least 46 people from Illinois, residents of Illinois, have been facing charges or have faced charges in connection with the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021. You had an article recently going through all of them, what they're charged with, where their cases stand. What are there any recent developments in this that stand out to you? I mean, I will say I was struck that the government seems to still be finding people 3 years later.
Yeah, and people that they spoke to years ago, right? And they're just getting around now to filing charges. Although, look, you're right. So according to our tally, we've got 46 Illinoisans who have charged so far in connection with January 6th. There, 11 of those are still pending cases, which means we've had like some 35 people go through the system as a result of what they did that day, whether it be just wandering into the rotunda and wandering out, or conduct much more serious. You know, the investigation clearly isn't done. They're still working on it. They're still rounding people up. We have had some, I guess probably one of the most notable events so far. We had there was one Chicago police officer who was charged for participating in the riot. I believe he and his sister was among those who kind of wandered into the building for a little bit. He was also accused of going into Senator Merkley's office and then leaving. They were recently sentenced to three years of probation, of which they had to serve 3 months in home detention. It's like it is across the country. There are a lot of people who wandered in, a lot of people, you know, and wandered out. But there have also been some really serious cases. There's a Proud Boy who was charged with fighting with police. People accused of resisting and fighting with police. There's one guy from Auburn, Shane Woods, who was he attacked a police officer. He attacked a media cameraman. So he was charged for that. And he's also now charged with first degree murder, separate from January 6th, because of a wrong way crash. He got onto I-55, drove the wrong way into some vehicles and killed a woman from Skokie. But while doing so, said that he made a comment about not wanting to serve prison time that seemed related to the January 6th case. So that's kind of a quick overview.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And just thank you. Thank you for keeping track of this, because, you know, I don't know how else we would know exactly. I think you are one of the only sources that I've found who is really tracking this for Illinoisans. So John Seidel covers federal courts for the Chicago Sun-Times. John, thanks so much for being with us again on the 21st show.
Glad to do it. Thanks.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.